This is Audible.
Switch.
Written by Adriana Locke.
Narrated by Wynn Ross.
And Kai Kennicott.
Chapter 1. Graham. I'm not used to this. Hell, I'm really not even okay with this. The stillness before the sun comes up is my time. I get more accomplished in that precious window than I do all day long. Why? No one else is up and around to bother me. That is, until my brother Ford came back to town. Glancing across my desk, he's leaned against the wall with a paper cup in his hand. His sandy, military-cut hair has started to grow over the last couple of weeks since he was released from the Marines with more medals than an Olympian. He knows his morning visits annoy me, but like our other siblings, a part of him finds frustrating me amusing. Assholes. Still, as he meanders his way towards my desk, I can't really be mad. At my oldest brother Barrett, possible. At my youngest brother Lincoln, often. But Ford, it's hard to do. Do you show up here just to throw off my day? I try and fail to hide my grin. What can I say? He laughs. The military doesn't approve of staying in bed. After all those years in the service, old habits are hard to break. He takes a sip from his cup and sits in the black leather chair across from me. I need to find a new routine. I've had one imposed on me for so many years, it's a little odd not having someone threatening to have my ass before dawn. I can assure you I'll be tossing you out on your ass if you keep showing up here before the day starts. It throws me off schedule. Glancing at my watch, I scowl. And so does being late. Ford raises his brows. Your new secretary starts today, doesn't she? She's supposed to. Mallory Sims. Remember her? Sort of. Did I go to high school with her? He scratches his head. Damn, that feels like a long time ago. Because it was, I laugh. She's a friend of Sienna's. At the mention of one of our twin sisters, the youngest of all, Ford looks worried. I get it. It also worries the fuck out of me to know I've stooped this low. And low it is. But I didn't have a choice. My former executive assistant, Linda, up and quit on me a few weeks ago. She was everything you could want. Efficient, orderly, experienced. She worked for my father before I took over for him and knew this business inside and out. When she left, I realized she was irreplaceable. I've gone through so many temps in her vacancy. Hired people from ads placed in newspapers, and even tried promoting one woman from another department, and none of them worked. Not one of them meshed with my style or filled the role as I needed them to. One weekend night, after missing a family lunch because you couldn't see the top of my desk for papers, contracts, and files, Sienna called. She'd run into a girl we used to know. In the midst of conversation, my sister realized she had experience as an administrative assistant, needed a job, and grabbed her resume for me. It looked good. Her references checked out. She had experience as not just a secretary, but as an executive assistant. I also remembered her from before and was fairly certain she wasn't a psychopath. So I forewent the standard interview and just hired her. What did I really stand to lose? Can I just ask what on earth made you think that was a good idea? Ford asks. I mean, I love Sienna and Camilla, but their friends aren't exactly employable. Desperation is the name of the game. My brother stands. Although he's a couple of years younger than me, he's a few inches taller. It must be. Ugh, tell me about it. I groan. But there is a method to my madness. Let's hope. If not, I'm calling Dad and letting him know you've lost your mind and we need to vote you off the board. I vaguely remember Mallory. She must have been a freshman or sophomore my senior year. I had Latin club with her, I say, picking up a pen. You in Latin club? I can't. Fuck you, I say, throwing the pen at his head. Because Ford has reflexes similar to Lincoln's, it misses and clinks against the wall. You better be glad one of us takes things seriously. Can you imagine our family being reliant on Barrett? Or worse, Lincoln? We'd be investing in baseball and Skittles. Ford picks up the projectile. Speaking of Lincoln, how weird is it to see him so pussy-whipped? It's one of the oddest things I've ever seen happen with my own eyes. He went from total man whore to monogamy at the flip of a switch. Danielle must have some good pussy. Ford chuckles. Yeah, that or a magic wand. Yeah, but I get it. I think he made the right decision. Seeing some of the shit I've seen overseas really puts things in perspective for you. Often the things we think are important aren't. Ford's gaze hits the floor. But he recovers, pasting on a smile. Lincoln doesn't have to worry about money. We have you. Yeah, if only I had an assistant. What time was she supposed to be here? Glancing at the clock, my irritation grows. 6 minutes ago. She's supposed to start at 8. That's what you get for choosing employees at a Sienna Circle. My hand flies through my hair as every worst-case scenario plays out before my eyes. Looking at Ford, I know his main concern, Landry Security. I can't blame him. This is his dream, much like managing Landry Holdings is mine. And he can't get to work until I do mine. I get it. That's why it drives me insane that Mallory isn't here and I'm not working at full capacity. Sighing, I shrug. Her resume was infallible. The references she listed all checked out, saying her praises to be exact. They all said she has unlimited potential and would be an asset, even knowing it's Landry Holdings we're talking about. I can't believe she's late. Who does that? On their first day, no less. My brother tosses the pen on my desk. If you need help with Landry Security, let me know. I can tell he's antsy and is trying to play it cool, and that frustrates me. He shouldn't be worrying about this. He should have faith in me, and my lack of a fucking assistant is shaking that. I'll be fine, I reassure him. I have a plan. Even though things have been a little more unsettled than I'd like with Linda's departure, I've been moving forward. Landry Security is happening. Ford's hand rests on the doorknob and he looks at me. His brow is furrowed, reminiscent of our mother's when she's trying to decide how to broach a subject with us. There's no way he knows how much this has affected me. Losing sleep, popping antacids like a motherfucker. All because I don't fail. I'll help you, however. He reiterates carefully. I know. And I do appreciate that. But you're too fucking anal retentive to let anyone else get involved at this stage. He grins. I prefer the term professional. I bet you do. He laughs. I know you have control issues and all, but consider trusting someone else to help out. You don't have to do it all yourself, man. This is my legacy. You have your own hero medals. Barrett has his public service. Lincoln has batting titles and golden gloves. I have this. No one wants to usurp you, he insists. We just want to help. When I just look at him with no response, he sighs. Fine, but cut the new girl some slack. If you look at her like that when she walks in, she'll probably march right back out. What? I don't give off the empathetic boss look? No. You give off the asshole dictator look. Good. At least she'll know what she's in for. I wink. Now get out of here so I can figure out what to do when I fire Mallory Sims on her first day at the office. He chuckles. I'll call this afternoon and see if anyone sent you to the psychiatric ward. Make sure the walls have extra padding. It's an added expense. Charge it to Barrett. Will do. With a shake of his head, he disappears out the door. The silence I love so much descends around me. The only sound coming from the coffee maker in the corner. The city below the third-story windows encompassing two walls of my office is just beginning to awaken. I love to watch everything sort of turn on for the day. Being awake and working before that happens makes me feel like I'm a step ahead of the game. That no one got anything over on me while I was sleeping. Sleeping, like my new employee probably is when she should be here. I fire off an email to Human Resources. Letting them know I plan on not hiring Miss Sims after all, and print out their response to hand to the almost employee if she ever shows up. Slipping off my suit jacket, I hang it on the hook behind the door. Rolling my sleeves up to my forearms, I'm mentally going over the list of applicants to replace Mallory, when a loud clamor booms from the entryway into the suite. As I round the corner and peer into the reception area, I spy a woman bent down. The floor is spattered with miscellaneous items. Bobby pins, sheets of paper, a water bottle, and a backpack are being scooped up and shoved into a large bag. Irritated at another disruption to my day, I lean against the doorframe. A million thoughts roll through my mind, most of them along the lines that as CEO of Landry Holdings, I should not be dealing with this hassle. As my temples begin to throb, I fold my arms over my chest. She stuffs the last sheet of paper into the bag and stands. Her eyes flick to mine and she stills. I think I do too. Her skin is pale and creamy, a soft framework for the deep chestnut hair hanging to her waist. A dress the color of moss in the summer showcases toned arms and a long, lean line from her shoulders to her calves. A thin rope belt cinches her trim waist, one that I can imagine digging my fingers into. I clear my throat. Can I help you? With something besides getting out of that dress, I think.
I think you probably can,
she says, then blushes a pretty shade of pink.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that. What I mean is...
She's flustered. It's adorable and sexy at the same time. I should say something, interject, help her out. But I don't. I like this entirely too much.
I'll stop talking now.
She flashes me a pretty smile, one that catches my attention in ways it shouldn't at 8:16 a.m. Taking a step towards me, the toe of her shoe catches on the water bottle she didn't pick up and she comes barreling my way. Before I know what's happening, I reach out and catch her under a spray of loose-leaf paper.
Oof!
She heaves as she lands in my arms and I'm surrounded by a sweet floral scent. I should let her go. I should back away, direct her to the front desk to get directions to wherever she's going, and retreat to my office. Regardless of how sexy her breasts feel pressed against me, or the way her ass pops as my fingers lace together at the dip at the bottom of her spine, I have things to do today. Important things. Lots of them. Even if I can't pinpoint one at the moment. Large, nearly golden eyes peer up at me. They're crystal clear, almost like I can see all the way to the depths of her soul. They're incredible tones, of the purest gold, and I can't look away. The feel of her body against mine sparks something inside me, a carnal, visceral reaction that's led by feeling rather than intellect. Are you okay? I ask, trying desperately to use the brain power I'm known for in most circles, and not the cock I'm known for in others.
I think so.
She pulls her gaze away from mine. A connection is actually snapped between us, and I'm almost certain she feels it too, because her features fall.
I'm just running late.
Hell fucking no. I'm afraid to ask her the next question. If the answer is what I think it is, I'm going to kill my little sister.
Chapter 2. Mallory. Breathe, Mallory. Breathe. It only takes a fraction of a second to realize why that's a horrible idea. As the sweet, rich scent of sandalwood couples with the feel of his fingertips pressing into my back, I know it's fight or flight. Cut off all oxygen or pull away from his arms. Suffocate, or step away while I can, because if I keep breathing him in, I'll be a puddle at his feet in 2 seconds flat. I'm a logical woman. There is no way I'm stepping out of his embrace. Don't breathe, Mal. Don't. Breathe. Focusing on the feel of his hand against me, the way his arms hold me up like he's some kind of savior, the morning events spin wildly in my mind. The failed alarm. Spilling tea down my new dress. One of my favorite heels snapping as I nearly fell backwards when Graham Landry's picture loaded on my laptop screen. This seemed like a great idea. The opportunity to work at Landry Holdings glittered like a gift from above lay beautifully in my lap. I need this job. I'd been praying to find something since I left Columbia and every hope and dream I'd ever had behind. When I ran into Sienna Landry, a friend from high school at yoga class, we started talking. We weren't the best of friends, hanging out only here and there back then, but she was always so sweet and kind. When she mentioned this job, it seemed like kismet. That is, until I pulled up the website this morning. Whatever I expected Graham to be, he's not. At least physically. That's why I can't look him in the face as his fingers tense against my dress, and all I can do is imagine him touching me elsewhere. My cheeks heat at my errant thoughts, as I witness the green of his eyes mix with a color I can only describe as sapphire. I know I need to say something, but when I open my mouth, nothing comes out, and I suddenly feel the oxygen deprivation hitting me full force. He leans closer. This doesn't help, nor does my panic that he'll get stuck in the syrup on the sleeve of my dress.
"Breathe,"
he whispers. The cool mintiness of his breath is a stark contradiction to the fire radiating off him in every other way. Still, his words force into my brain, and I drag in a quick lungful of air.
"There you go."
His voice is as warm and smooth as his cologne, and somehow it seems to break the spell over me. A giggle slips past my lips before I can stop it. It's my go-to reaction, especially when I've had too much to drink, and I'm definitely a little buzzed. Graham shakes his head, his hand subtly pressing me closer to him, a move I pretend was intentional. I clear my throat in an attempt to swallow my nerves. This isn't exactly a good first impression, huh?
Depends how you look at it.
He mumbles under his breath and releases me far too quickly. Straightening his navy blue tie, he takes a purposeful step away. While the heat continues to roll off of him, it seems now it's for a different reason.
You do realize you're 17 minutes late.
I do, I gulp. I had an accident this morning. And once I saw your picture, I had to do what any reasonable female would do. Find my prettiest panties and matching bra. His eyes darken as if he can read my mind. I stand before him, his smolder making me wonder how in the hell I'm going to work alongside him every day. Maybe I can work on top of him. Or under him. Or...
I assume you're Mallory,
he says, clearing his throat. Yes. I extend a hand, not sure if that's necessary since we were basically hugging a few seconds ago. You must be Mr. Landry? He takes my palm in his, the size of his twice the size of mine, and shakes it gently.
I didn't recognize you. You've changed.
So have you. The corners of his lips drift up, pulling mine along with them. The exchange causes my heart to flutter, and I nervously tuck a strand of hair behind my ear. As quickly as it came, the softness in his eyes vanishes. It's replaced with a resolution, but to what? I don't know.
First things first, I'm going to need you in your seat, ready to go at 8 on the dot.
Of course, I reply. Suddenly, I'm transported back to Latin Club and he's standing at my desk, asking me if I have a partner for our end-of-year project. My hands shake now, just as they did then.
Second, please call me Graham.
Oh, okay. He takes a deep breath.
I know we knew each other once upon a time, and you're friends with my sisters, but that won't factor into your performance here. If that will be any issue at all, we need to discuss it now.
Graham, I say, throwing my shoulders back and ignoring how hot he looks with his furrowed brows. As the CEO of Landry Holdings, I'm certain you did your due diligence before hiring me. If not... You got lucky because you have my word that I will blow your expectations out of the water. His brows pull together, his freshly shaven jaw working back and forth like he doesn't quite know what to do with me. As his tongue darts across his bottom lip, leaving a trail of wetness behind, I gulp. I know exactly what you should do with me. He cuts the distance between us in half. As he looms overhead, my brain scatters, once again feeling like he just read my thoughts. It's unnerving, so much so, in fact, that I'm ready to apologize. Before I can, he speaks.
Get situated at your desk, and I'll alert human resources to your arrival.
After a lingering look that keeps me in place, he vanishes through the solid wood door, and I can finally breathe again.
Graham. A catastrophe. That's what this fucking day is. The clock flips to noon, reminding me how much time I've wasted today. I'm usually heading out for a quick bite to eat in between meetings and calls, having already put in a full day's work for most people. Today, nothing. I've got nothing except a serious case of blue balls and a migraine to boot. Linda was in her mid-50s. On Friday, she would get here an hour early, send me a weekly recap midday, and forward me a finalized schedule for the following week before she left. She crocheted me a blanket last winter. That's the assistant I want. Sharp, efficient, not hot. I don't know which way to go to stop the bleeding first. There's so much to catch up on. Weeks worth of business, the security company to iron out, a stack of files higher than I've ever allowed to accumulate. But here I sit, a file open, untouched, 26 calls to return on my desk phone alone. And today was the day it was all supposed to get done. That was the plan. And all I can do is sit here with half my attention aimed towards the door. I'm not sure if Linda ever laughed when my door was closed in the nearly 10 years she worked for me. Mallory has 5 times today. I'm also not certain if Linda ever smelled like lavender or wore a dress that was soft to the touch. Stop it, I groaned myself, trying to wipe the image of her full lips out of my mind. You're acting like Lincoln, damn it. As if on cue, my phone rings and his name glows on the screen. Hello? I sigh. You sound pissier than normal. Lincoln snickers. I was just thinking about you. That's what they all say. He jokes. Seriously, though, what's up? You, my little brother, were wrong. About what? Mallory Sims. Sienna's friend? I like to think of her, for the next few hours anyway, as my new executive assistant. What was I wrong about? I don't even know her. I whistled through my teeth. I expected more from you, Link. You have a reputation in this family, and I counted on that. You failed me. What the fuck are you talking about, G? She's hot. I let that sink in a second. If you weren't all in love with Danielle, I probably wouldn't have even let you in my office ever again. Maybe I need to drop by today, he jokes. I'm not sure what you're pissed about. If I needed a secretary, I'd get a hot one. Before Danielle, I mean. I would have before Danielle. Rolling my eyes, I lean back in my chair. Of course you would have, because you're an animal. Was. I was an animal. He pauses. I was an animal, wasn't I? God, at least I have the memories. He sighs. Yeah, good for you. Go relive those while I try to figure out how to manage this. Need tips? I have some awesome tricks from all that animalistic behavior, and I'm willing to share. Hell, someone should be able to use them these days. No, Link. Oh, Barrett told me one the other day about grapes. Lincoln, stop. I tap my pen against the glass on top of my desk and wait for his laughing to subside. I'm being serious here. How am I supposed to work with a girl that looks like she should be... wrapped around your cock? He offers. Not helping. Lincoln bursts out laughing. Sorry, I think this shit is funny as hell. Yeah, you would, I mutter. He finishes his amusement and clears his throat. So, what are you going to do? Can you just ignore it? Or do you have to let her go because you can't control yourself? He pauses. That's it, I knew it. There's a kinky animal buried in those stuck-up suits of yours trying to claw its way out, isn't there? Lincoln. He cackles. You need me for advice. This has to be one of the best days of my life. I knew you'd need me sooner or later. There is nothing about this situation that warrants your advice. Come to think of it, there's nothing about life that would make me need your 2 cents. Take a piece of ice and put it... I swear to God, if you don't stop, I'm sending Ford over to kick your ass. You'll send Ford because you can't do it, he teases. I'll send Ford because some of us have a fucking job to tend to, asshole. We both chuckle, and I feel the tension ease just a bit. Rising from my desk, I look at the back of my closed office door. She's out there, just a few yards from me. Human Resources says she's catching on, even deferring lunch today so she can learn more. I like that. That is a good sign. My hard cock is not. Did you know she was hot before you hired her? Lincoln asks. If so, that's very un-Gram-like. No, in my defense. I say over his objection. I knew her in high school. She wasn't hot. She was super smart. So she was a nerd like you? Anyway, I sigh, continuing on. I felt like I knew her. Her references were stellar. It never crossed my mind that this would be my issue. I keep thinking I'll wake up. She'll walk in, and this will have been a dream. A wet one, nearly, but a dream nonetheless. But until that happens, I need a fucking plan, and all I can come up with is ordering uniforms. Ugly puke green with a collar up the neck. No skin at all. And maybe a muzzle, because as confusing as it is, her voice and smile fuck with me as much as her body. Lincoln chuckles. I still don't see how this is a problem. Think of her as office decor. She'll just give you something to look forward to in the morning. How interesting can whatever it is you do all day be? This is a godsend, G. Embrace it. I want to embrace it. That's the fucking problem. I can't have temptation staring at me all damn day. You can if you're strong enough to say no. I mean, I've never been particularly good at that, but I'm sure it's on your geek gene somewhere. Out of all our siblings, you are my least favorite. I can live with that. He laughs. I gotta go, though. I have a meeting in a few. I'll call you tonight. Call while it still qualifies as night and not morning, okay? I'll try. The line goes dead, and I realize I'm still standing behind my desk, looking at the door.
Chapter 3. Mallory. The water is hot, nearly scalding, lapping against my chest. The air in the bathroom is steamy, fogging up the mirrors as I relax in a blissful lavender-scented bath. All thoughts of the day, the insane tempo of Landry Holdings, the exhilaration of a first day, my sexy as hell boss that I can barely look at with a straight face, begin to melt into the water. Filling my body with the lovely mist, I feel Graham's hand on my...
Excuse me.
Oh! I yelp, jumping in my office chair and bumping my knee on the underside of my desk. I didn't see you standing there.
Because your eyes were closed,
Graham points out. My cheeks flush as I wonder how long he stood there and watched me. It's a full minute before I realize he's awaiting an explanation. It's another minute before it's obvious he will either get one or he'll keep standing there. I was visualizing, I say, hoping we can now move on.
Visualizing what?
Getting ready to visualize you naked, but you ruined that. I was doing a quick relaxation technique, walking through what I plan on doing when I get home to relax from the stress of the day. His sun-kissed skin pulls together along the ridge of his forehead. He looks at me like I'm crazy. I return the favor as a buzzing noise quietly sounds from my desktop phone, alerting me it's 5 o'clock. The light at the top dims. How efficient.
Was today stressful for you?
He asks. Kind of. I rub my knee from the ding to the desk and stand. It was my first day. Aren't they always stressful?
I haven't had a first day in a long time.
He grins. That's probably true, I admit. Trust me, they stink.
Stink? Are we back in high school?
Would you rather me say suck? I don't mean it to come out so sassy, so much like an innuendo. I guess that's just what happens when a man stands before you in a suit and looks so good, you aren't sure he could look better stripped down. His shoulders are wide, filling out the top of his jacket. His trim waist fitted with a brown leather belt. Everything fits him so perfectly. I'm sure it's custom made. So many men get worn by the suit. Graham Landry definitely wears his.
I think we need to change the subject,
he says, clearing his throat.
How do you feel about your day?
Good. Gina, the girl from HR, trained me most of the day. There's really not a lot here that's different from any other administrative assistant job I've had. Just new systems, but they're pretty easy to figure out.
Besides being late, I thought you did a good job. Gina said you caught on fast.
He leans against the door, one foot over the other. I force myself not to let my gaze drop down the lines of his body, and instead focus on the lines of his face. Not that it's any easier, but more politically correct. And it'll be good to have a clear image for when I visualize it between my legs when I get home.
I just drafted an email defining what I'm going to need you to take on in order to make this an effective working relationship. I know it's past 5, but if you can peruse it before you leave today and send me a response, that would be helpful.
Sure. He flashes me a half smile, one that he appears to have to force himself to give, and disappears inside his office again. The breath comes out heavier than I anticipate as I plop back down in my chair. Waking up my desktop, I wait for my email to open. As referenced, there is one new message in my inbox. To Mallory Sims, Administrative Assistant. From Graham Landry, CEO. Requirements. Please note the bulleted items below. They are non-negotiable. Be on time. You must be at your seat ready to go by 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. Keep your desk neat. Organization is key. I will email you a list of daily priorities by 8 a.m. each morning. Ensure those tasks are completed before you leave, in addition to what may arise during the day. My family are the only people allowed in my office without an announcement. Additionally, they're the only people I may be interrupted for during a meeting. Please familiarize yourself with the packet of information I left for you under your car keys, which I picked up from the floor and placed on the corner of your desk. A simple response to this would be appreciated. Graham. Is he for real? Glancing across the desk, there's a set of papers under my keys, and I have no idea when he put them there. I've been here all day. Turning back to the list, I look it over once more. Before I can hit reply, my inbox dings again. The body of the message is empty. Only the RE field has text. To Mallory Sims, Administrative Assistant. From Graham Landry, CEO. RE. Amend previous email to include keep eyes open at desk. I am not sure he's kidding. To Graham Landry, CEO. From Mallory Sims, Administrative Assistant. Requirements. That all seems reasonable. I will see you tomorrow. On time. Hey, kitty. I greet my kitten with a nuzzle behind her gray ears. What happened in your world today? She stretches, the little bell on her collar jingling. The sun has nearly set, and my apartment is soaking up the final few rays coming in through the window. I flip on some lights and glance around on my way to the kitchen. It's all coming together. The walls still need a fresh coat of paint, but I just don't have time to dedicate to that. Still, it looks a ton better than it did when I moved in here a few months ago. The couple before me had a more modern approach to decorating. Everything was white and black in straight lines. It was absurdly boring. The pottery pieces I've collected over my entire life help add some color and make it feel like more my own space, something I've never really had. Eric's face zips through my mind, and I feel my heart pitter just a little. I miss him. Of course I do. I didn't leave him because I didn't love him. I left him because he basically told me he planned on leaving me eventually.
You did what?
He hissed. I dropped out of school, I told him. Nursing isn't for me, Eric, but it sounded like a good career path initially. Good money, good job market, but I hate it. Loathe it. I'd rather stick a pencil in my eye and gouge my eyeballs out than do some of those things. I just thought I could love it, and you thought it would be good for me.
It is good for you.
He laughed angrily.
Mal, what do you think you're going to do with your life, huh? Making coffee in some businessman's office is not a career path.
I don't just make coffee. I'm the executive assistant to the CEO. I've worked there for 4 years and have been promoted twice. I'm the highest paid administrative personnel in the building, and I managed that while I was going to school for the last year. They say I'm a natural, and I love it, Eric. That's what I was born to do. Business is...
Mal, sweetie, business isn't for you. It's for other people.
He took off his jacket and looked at me.
Your boss probably likes having a young piece of ass in the office. Why wouldn't he?
He sighed as red-hot tears blurred my eyes.
This is going to sound blunt, but you need to hear it. Your boss is blowing smoke up your ass to get you to spread your legs. And if you think I'm going to work my ass off to take care of you forever, you're crazy.
My heart broke. His words strangled me. I don't, I cried. Why would you say that to me? He looked at me with pity in his eyes.
Do you think I don't realize what you did? You hitched a ride up here with me so you don't end up like your parents. You thought I was your golden ticket.
Eric, I said through a smattering of tears. I came because I love you.
I love you too, but...
The look he gave me, more than pity, of indifference, slayed me.
You don't really think you and I are going to last, right? I mean, we have fun. Sex is great, but we're not, you know, marriage types.
Leaving him was the hardest thing I've ever done. Because it wasn't just leaving him. It was leaving my life there, everything I knew as an adult, everything that was comfortable. Yet being on my own, while scary as all get out, has been liberating. Making choices from dinner to my job are all mine. I'm actually creating my life and figuring out what works for me. For the first time in my life, I feel like I might be strong enough to do it. There's nothing in the fridge when I look inside, which is fine considering I'm not really hungry, as I try to determine whether a visit to the yoga studio or a bath is in order. The phone rings. Hello? I say, after I find it at the bottom of my purse, directly under the water bottle that caused all the commotion earlier today. Hey, you! George chirps. I got the job! That's fabulous. When do you start? Next week, we need to celebrate! I cringe as I sink at one of the mismatched chairs at the kitchen table. Joy's description of celebration doesn't mesh with the description of my wallet. Her parents are friends of the Landrys, meaning they have money. Lots of it. They could probably wallpaper their house with it if they wanted to. I'm going to be working a lot this week, I say, figuring it's the truth. I'm not sure I'm going to have time to go out or shopping or whatever you have in mind. Sienna and I are going shopping tomorrow after work. You're invited, of course, but if you can't, I understand. You working girl, you! She giggles. I need a completely updated look. Professional, but with a twist, you know? Because there's no reason to look stuffy. Of course not. I chuckle. Sienna said she might be going back to L.A. soon. I don't think she planned on staying home so long, but she really missed her family. Joy giggles. I'd miss them too. I say, fanning my face. Can you even imagine them all together in one room? I've only seen them in groups of two. I think my ovaries might explode. She bursts out laughing. Graham isn't how you remembered him, huh? I stand, the blue and white checkered cushion sticking to my legs. I could kill you for not warning me, I huff. I had an hour to wrap my brain around the fact that he looks nothing like he did at 18. Not that it was helpful. I needed a friendly sit-down with my best friend, I emphasize, as an explanation of what I was getting into. Joy's voice bounces through the line, her amusement in the situation annoying me. I march through the house and into the bathroom and begin filling the tub. I didn't realize you didn't know. I guess I didn't think much about it. I mean, I talk to you practically every day. I forget you weren't here. Paybacks are a bitch. I warn her. I was going to warn you, I swear. I just didn't realize you actually accepted the position and were starting today. Because you don't listen, I sigh. You don't, Joy.
I do too. I'm just busy. I have so many balls up in the air right now.
She continues on in some tirade about how hard her life is now that her parents have started to wean her off financially. They wanted her to get a job. She thinks they're being unreasonable. It's a little hard to hear when you had a job, sometimes two, since you were 15.
Mal?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I say, stripping out of my dress. I'm here.
Who's not listening now?
I'm getting in the bath, I say, turning the water off. After dumping in a handful of bath salts, I test the temperature with my toe. Perfect. After sinking into the tub, I rest my head against a towel.
There. What were you saying? I was just asking how your day went, that's all.
It went well, I think. It's nothing too complicated and nothing I haven't done before. They're paying me really well, too.
She pauses. That's it?
Yeah, I mean, what are you wanting me to say?
Damn it, Mal! You know I've fantasized about the Landry boys since we were 10! The closest I've ever gotten to one is a quick kiss with Ford behind his mother's car in 6th grade. I used to beg Camilla to have me stay the night just so I could try and see her brothers.
You've always been a little hoochie, I laugh, my thighs pressing together as Graham's chiseled face floats into my mind.
So?
We both laugh as the water soothes my tense muscles. I close my eyes and sigh.
Oh, Graham is outrageously good-looking. You aren't complaining, are you?
No, of course not, I say hurriedly. It's just really hard to concentrate when he's on the other side of the wall all day. I have to call in his office and alert him of calls or appointments, and his voice comes through the line, and I literally have to talk myself out of not taking a bathroom break and getting myself off. I just hope this works out.
I'm going to pretend I don't hear that thing in your voice.
What thing? I ask defensively.
That bit of uncertainty. Just stop it. Everything will be fine.
It's easy for her to say. Her bills are paid regardless if she works or not. It's not that simple for me. I only got into the private school that she, Camilla, and Sienna went to because I worked my butt off in middle school, filled out the paperwork for a scholarship, and practiced for a week straight for the entrance interview. We couldn't afford it. And frankly, my parents didn't think a good education was really that important. I'd finish high school and go get a job at the factory or be a cashier at the hardware store and be happy. If I mentioned pursuing something different, they rolled their eyes and told me to be realistic. I wanted more. Through pure determination on my part and maybe a toss of luck from up above, the administrators of the school let me in with a scholarship. It was the best day of my life. Now I sit in this mediocre apartment and look around. The porcelain in the tub is cracking, and the corner of the mirror above the sink is broken, and I fight off the unsteadiness that wobbles in my gut. Will it be okay? I ask.
I feel so out of touch.
Out of touch with what?
With me. I don't know who I am or what I want or what's even possible for me anymore, Joy.
I'm having a midlife crisis, I pout.
You can't have a midlife crisis at your age, she scoffs.
You totally can. It's called a quarter-life crisis, actually.
Stop sounding all doom and gloom.
I don't, I toss back. I'm just emotionally drained from today. Cut me some slack, she sighs.
I'm glad you came back here.
Her reference to me not moving to North Dakota with my parents is thinly veiled. She knows I don't have a terrific relationship with them, and had I followed them north to the oil fields where my father is now working, I'd be miserable. But coming to Savannah, the place I call home even without my parents, was a risk.
Me too, I whisper.
I just hope this doesn't end up on the list of Mal's bad decisions.
It won't. Things will work themselves out. They always do. Look at me having a job and all. Who'd have thunk it?
True, I giggle. But I certainly don't know what I'm doing right now, I sigh.
But what choice do I have? Stay in nursing with a guy that made it clear he doesn't want to see a future with me, or suck it up and move on? This whole thing isn't what I wanted or thought would happen, and I'm not sure where to go from here.
You've started that by taking the job with Graham. I think you're doing great, Joy says softly.
If only I can stop thinking about him in a purely unprofessional way, I giggle.
If you figure out how to do that, share the knowledge. I've battled that almost my whole life.
I sink further into the water.
You know what I really want?
Besides Landry naked?
I roll my eyes.
I want to feel like the me I used to know. I want to feel alive. I want to wake up and smile. I want to accomplish things, to feel powerful. I want to have things to look forward to, have goals, find someone that wants to laugh with me, go hiking, or get ice cream.
That sounds stupid, doesn't it?
No, No, it doesn't, she says. Swirling the water around the tub, I think about what I just said. It's the first time I've been able to really verbalize how I feel. I miss feeling like the girl with the drive to get into private school. I don't know her anymore. I sacrificed her for a relationship in which I was little more than a plot device. You know, I say, sitting up, the water splashing onto the floor. Now that I think of it, I can't remember a time when I was with Eric that I was truly happy. I just kept thinking that I would be happy. Things just needed to line up the right way. That sounds stupid. I know. My shoulders slump. I kept thinking if I do this or do that or this happens that we would be happy. Then why did you stay with him, Mal? I shrug. We had fun together. Especially at the beginning. We saw movies and played euchre and had great sex. I laugh. It always felt like something was on the horizon. It just never materialized. Before I knew it, years had gone by and I felt like I didn't even realize who I was. I had no idea. Me either, I sigh. I knew I felt sort of depressed and blah, but I didn't realize why until he told me he didn't see a future together. That sent a spark of reality through me. I thought, how did I, Mallory Sims, get here? I don't remember him holding me or asking me how my day was, I say, the words coming faster as all of it hits me. Or caressing me. He didn't ask my opinion or tell me he was proud of me or encourage me to do anything. Love makes you do funny things. I guess. She doesn't even try to conceal her frustration. The moral of this sad, depressing story is fuck Eric. Fuck Eric, I whisper. On that note, I need to go. I have a packet to read tonight before I go in tomorrow. It looks lame as hell, but I'll give it a quick skim. Otherwise, I'll regret it tomorrow. Go get him, Tiger, I tease. I'll talk to you later. Bye! I toss my phone on a pile of towels and let my face dip beneath the water. Holding my breath, I'm reminded of the last time I couldn't breathe. Damn it, Graham!
Chapter 4. Graham. Reaching overhead, I adjust the desk lamp so it shines directly on the schedule in front of me. I should have had this done before I left the office this evening. I never leave without having the next day laid out. Even since everything has been in flux, I've stayed decently together. Today, however, was a bomb that shook everything more than the day Linda left. Leaning back and placing the pencil in my hand in the center of the notebook, I consider Mallory. I should be mulling over her performance and not the way her ass felt against my hand. I need to be thinking about how she will fit in the Landry system, not how her chest fits snugly against mine. It would make sense to predict how she'll benefit the family brand, not how she somehow makes the entire office seem a little brighter. I am so fucked. Leaping to my feet, the chair flying backwards and rattling the bookshelf behind me, I let the frustration I felt creeping up get the best of me. The house is dark as I make my way down the hall from my office to the living room. The door to each room lining the hallway is open, pressed firmly against the wall, just like I like it. Flipping on the light in the living room, I sink into the brown leather sofa. I hit a button on the remote and the electric fireplace kicks on. The flames flicker beneath the mantel, sending shadows over the painting attached to the rockwork of the chimney. This is my favorite place in the world. When I bought this house shortly after taking over Landry Holdings from my father, I knew this would be my escape from the business world, and I also knew how important it was to have that. Dad had the home my mother created. I had to create my own. The dark hardwood floors, warm golden walls, and pieces of tobacco-colored furniture. Here, tucked away in the living room, where I feel like I can drop all the hats, and sometimes masks, that I wear daily. There's nothing to juggle as I put my feet on the leather ottoman and breathe. Well, nothing except that distraction that nibbles at my brain. The tumbler of whiskey earlier didn't quell it. The 3.1 miles I ran with Ford didn't either. Walking in the door to my home didn't offer me the sense of peace I feel every night when I return from a day's work. I'm as off as I have been all day. Maybe that's the problem. She bamboozled me. Mallory, 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 what am I going to do with you? My chuckle breaks the silence. I know exactly what I want to do with her. To her. For her. Everything I can't. Everything I won't. A chirping sound rings from the kitchen counter and I pad through the house, my bare feet slapping against the wood until I find it. Hello? I ask, glancing at the clock. It's 1 a.m., Barrett. Aren't you supposed to be getting your beauty sleep? I find it insulting you would suggest I need beauty sleep. Noted. I take out a new glass and pour another finger of whiskey. So, what's happening? Did you talk to Link today? The sound to his voice, a dose of amusement laced with annoyance, piques my curiosity. Yeah, he called me earlier today. That's it? He barks. Yeah, I'm not sure what you're getting at. The little shit is making me look bad, he jokes. I mean, I'm the oldest brother. I'm the fucking governor, for heaven's sake. And he has to go and get engaged and set a fucking date before I can even pop the question. My glass hits the marble counter with a thud. There's so much about that last bit that I'm going to need explained, I say, running a hand through my hair. Lincoln got engaged? Apparently, and they're getting married at the farm. And soon, I don't remember the date, but it's in the next few weeks. You must have misheard, I suggest, hitting the speakerphone button and setting the phone on the counter. He couldn't have scheduled the date. Engaged? Maybe. I think we all expected it. But set a date without talking to me? There's so much to plan, to protect. It's Lincoln, but he's reasonable. He wouldn't do that. He did it, G. Then who the hell is putting it together? Who's making sure his interests are protected? Tell me he signed a fucking prenup. I groan. Barrett sighs. I don't know. He just calls today and asks if I can be in town for it. It'll be a pain in the fucking ass, but of course I'll be there. I'm just pissed he couldn't have waited a while. Glad to know I'm the last to know. Irritation sweeps through my body as I stand in the middle of my kitchen, looking at my phone like it'll be forthright with answers. I had no idea he didn't even tell you, Barrett says, his voice now tempered. Well, he didn't. I was just calling to bitch about him making me look bad. Now I feel bad for telling you. Peeling off the black t-shirt I slipped on to run with Ford, I had it in a ball. Logically speaking, what did you expect, Barrett? You've been with Allison a while. You're moving her with you to Atlanta. Her kid calls our mom Grandma now. We were all supposed to chill out and wait until you finally grew the balls to ask her to marry you? He doesn't answer, just sighs deeply into the line. Why haven't you? I ask. Is something going on that I don't know about? No, he says quickly. It's nothing like that. I keep thinking she's gonna walk out. She hates so much of this life I live, and although Hux has taken it like a champ, she's in constant worry mode over it. I get it. I respect it. But I'm afraid if I really take that next step, I'll jinx it. Barrett, do you think a ring on her finger will change anything? It's just a symbol of something you already have. She needs that. I bite back the bile in my throat, the bitterness creeping quicker than it has in a long, long time. I remember her face, the long black locks splayed across my pillow, the sound of her voice as we debated philosophy into the wee hours of the morning.
All people need to be loved, Graham.
She gazed into my eyes, the first rays of morning light streaking across her face.
I need you to love me. I need you to show me you do, to quell that thirst in my soul.
What do you want from me, Vanessa?
I want you to put me first above everything else, like I do you.
Is this about me having to go home this weekend? I brush a strand of hair out of her face. I have to. I told my father I'd be there late Friday night.
How can you love me and leave me here? I need you too, you know. You always leave me when they call.
They're my family. That company will be mine. What am I supposed to do?
Stay with me.
She breathes, planting kisses up my chest.
Need me like I need you.
I thought I did need her. Maybe she convinced me that I did, but I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. How did you get so smart about relationships? Barrett charges, pulling me back to the present. You holding out on us? Nah, I say, downing the whiskey. The burn pushes the bitterness down with its fire. Not me. Why not you? Don't you want to settle down, G? I know you have your tail on the side, but aren't you getting tired of that shit? Of course I want to settle down. The logical part of me knows if I never find a woman and fall in love again, I'll miss out on a huge part of life itself. Family is the most important thing in the world to me, and there's nothing more I'd like than to have my own. But the other part of me, the part that remembers what all of this feels like when you realize it's all smoke and mirrors, is just as strong. Maybe stronger. When the time is right, I tell him. But I don't have the time or energy to give to someone right now. That's true. I barely have enough time in my day to do what I need to do to keep everything going. But that's only half the story. He doesn't need the other half.
Chapter 5. Mallory. Please, 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 I pray as the elevator inches north. I can't be late. My black heel taps against the tile, my hand clenching around my bag as I watch each number slowly light up. Kicking myself for not getting gas last night and waiting until today, I'm at the door before the buzzer goes off. As soon as the right floor dings, after what feels like an eternity, I dash out. The landing forms an H, with offices lining each long hallway. Pivoting to the right, I turn left and dash, more carefully than yesterday, but not any slower, down the hall to the double glass doors that open into what is now my office. They close softly behind me. My heart is thrashing beneath a wine-colored blouse that nicely showcases my boobs. I feel good in it, but not as good as I feel with Graham's eyes on me. I tiptoe across the room and slip into my seat. Glancing at the clock, I have 4 minutes to spare. As my bag hits the floor, the large wooden doors to Graham's office swing open. I sigh, but not from victory. I whimper from pure delight. His hair, combed to the side with a spike at the front, is a little darker than usual. My fingers itch to touch it, to see if it's still wet from the shower. He's a perfectly put-together image of power and sex appeal in a navy blue suit, crisp beige shirt, and a tie that incorporates both colors in a diamond pattern. Then his cologne hits me, and I think I'm going to faint away. Slipping off the black wire-rimmed glasses from his face, his brows arch in a hurry.
I didn't hear you come in.
4 minutes early, I point out with a smug smile. Despite 6 outfit changes, having to stop for gas, and a mini-traffic jam, I made it on time. He doesn't even attempt to hide the fact that he checks his watch.
Good to see.
Yesterday was an anomaly, I say, leveling up to my desk. Everyone gets one bad day sometimes, right? He doesn't answer, just watches me with a neutral face as I pull out a few odds and ends from my bag.
What's that?
He asks. This is a stress ball, I point out, tucking it in my desk drawer.
I think a happy face on a ball staring at me all day would give me stress.
He crooks his neck as he peers at the light purple device I place on my desktop.
What about that?
This, I say, holding it in the air. Has essential oil inside. I can roll it on my wrists, the back of my neck, wherever. His eyes flip to mine. His chest rises and falls heavily.
Can you keep that out of sight?
Sure, I say, blushing. The glass doors swing open, distracting us both. The younger, lighter, more athletic version of Graham walks in wearing sweatpants and a long-sleeved shirt. He has a huge grin on his face.
Mallory Sims.
He sings songs, extending a large calloused hand. Lincoln? Although I haven't seen him in years except on television, I'm fairly certain I'm right. Those jeans aren't found in that combo just anywhere. He stands by Graham, and the two of them together, side by side, makes my head spin. And panties melt away. Good God. Don't let him visit much.
I guess my reputation precedes me.
He winks.
Can I call you Mal? You are not nicknaming my assistant.
Graham huffs. Lincoln's shoulder hits Graham's, knocking him sideways a step. Graham mutters something, which causes his younger brother to chuckle.
Lighten up, G.
He turns to me.
What do you think of my brother here? Did he treat you right on your first day? She's my employee, Link.
Graham says just loud enough for me to think he didn't necessarily want me to. Lincoln ignores him, watching me with a wide smile.
I know he's not charming right off the bat and kind of a nerd with that suit, and when did you start wearing glasses?
He asks, looking at his brother.
Mallory, remember how I told you my family